Curious Johnny Podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin. Our first review in the new season.
Yeah, and it already got delayed a little bit for us, not for you guys. Oh, we were supposed to record on Thursday, but my dog decided that at some point he ate tape off of a box and it got stuck coming out. So we had to rush him to the emergency vet, which was a nice solid little chunk of change, but he's doing fine. He was like fine by the next day.
Oh, that's good.
But Justin did me a favor and we pushed the review back. But that didn't change anything for you. It just changes the workload for us. We got a jam-packed episode, obviously by the title you can tell. We're reviewing the original King Kong film. Justin has a game review of
Morbid, The Seven Acolytes.
There you go. And I'm going to make Justin talk about two things before that. But first, Justin, what have you been playing? What have you been watching?
Oh, fuck. Okay. Watching, I mean, Mando, obviously. But I feel like we shouldn't talk about it here until the whole season's
over.
Yeah, I
agree.
Okay.
I want to talk about it, but we shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Other than that, watching-wise, I'm down a Christmas hole.
Okay.
Just with kids and stuff, so we're just watching Christmas movies all the time now, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
What else have I been? I think that's it for watching. Listening, I've been listening to the original Thrawn series on audiobooks.
Amazing. We can't talk about why, but
spoiler.
I did pull those out of my collection.
Okay. I finished Heir to the Empire Thursday, and I started second one on Friday, even though apparently they're not canon anymore, which sucks, but you know, whatever.
They might be soon.
Yeah. I think after I do the original trilogy, I'm going to skip to like the new Timothy Zahn Thrawn trilogy that he did. But
I have a couple of those. They're pretty good.
Other than that, playing wise, I've been playing a little bit of Immortals Fenyx Rising still, which we did a review for on YouTube there.
We did.
I don't know. I've kind of fallen off pretty hard now that Cyberpunk's coming out. It's like,
I know. I've had to ride you a little bit on Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of that, I kind of started picking up Final Fantasy IX again. And then obviously I've been playing Morbid, The Seven Acolytes, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. But
patron, it's just so you're aware, I am making Justin commit to beating Final Fantasy IX before he starts Cyberpunk. So that review is coming.
Yes. Oh boy, I have to plow through that game. but yeah, other than that, nothing really much else. I've just been working a lot. What about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I have a couple of bigger things I want to talk to you about. But before I get to that, also been watching Mando. I watched some Survivor and some Ink Master, which are just like reality competition shows. Survivor, everybody knows that. Ink Master is about tattoos. So just stuff in the background. I've been playing a ton of Final Fantasy IX because I want to get that beat. Cyberpunk is not on my radar. I've been playing less Destiny, but still a big amount.
Yeah.
And I've kind of made the mental decision that I'm going to try to get Final Fantasy VII Remake done in these next couple of days after I beat 9.
Oh, Remake. Before
we dive into Dark Souls. I mean, there's no reason why I stopped. I just stopped one day and haven't picked it
back
up. I mean,
before we dive into Dark Souls, we still got to do Dino Crisis.
I know. But I gotta set up the stream, and we have like time in between Dino Crisis and Dark Souls that I want to fully do. And since I'm going to be streaming Dino Crisis, it's only like 6 hours I saw how long to beat.
Yeah.
I figured that's like 2 streaming sessions. That's just 2 3-hour streaming sessions. So that's kind of my plan, is like 2 nights is what that will be.
Yeah. That's fair.
Haven't been watching really any movies. But there's 2 things I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
First, for the Game Awards, we're going to be joining, hopefully, one of our patrons, Ginger Thrust. He's a Twitch streamer, to do like a live reaction show as they're airing the Game Awards.
Yes.
That's going to be on Thursday of this episode coming out. So we'll be over there. We'll post some links over on Twitter and stuff. But what I want to talk to you more specifically is, last year I was packing up my apartment in Utah and you sent me the trailer to Sons of the Forest.
Oh yeah, I guess that was a year ago, huh?
Yeah, and I had you watch a video from Farkit. He is one of the top Forest streamers over on YouTube, does a ton of crazy playthroughs, amazing builds and stuff. And he got reached out to by Ed Knight, who made the game, to be able to ask some questions. I know you really weren't like impressed by what was revealed, but for me, I think we're going to see a very big step forward at the Game Awards, like a trailer with gameplay and a release date.
Oh, I don't think we're getting, I don't think we're getting a release date at all. Really? I think we might get a year, maybe, or just, I don't even know if we're going to get a trailer, to be honest, because I know there is a lot to happen at the Game Awards this year, which just with everything being pushed and kind of the...
Like what? What are you expecting?
A lot of like next-gen game trailers and reveals. Like, I know we're seeing the next Dragon Age.
Okay.
I mean, we'll probably get like a Smash reveal character like we did last year. I mean, it's really all up in the air because you never know what's going to show up. But
so then let's, if you're so confident, if they do show something of Sons of the Forest, you buy my copy of it?
No.
Are you that confident?
No, God, no. But I just think...
And the graphics cards my PC can run, because I doubt it's coming to console on release.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. I mean, from the video, it like, all I really got from it was that, yes, it's still coming, and it's going to be better, bigger and better than The Forest, which, I mean...
Maybe I'm just excited, because I am excited for the next entry.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't be, because I think you should be. It is a good game. I just... I don't know. I've gone through those dreams before. I'm a little jaded. Well,
apparently we're getting a Silent Hill thing.
Don't even, man, that's been the rumor for the last 8 years at the Game Awards. Okay. But if it does happen, the
franchise, don't forget.
I know. but I'm so fucking jaded on that whole rumor. But if that or Blue Point's Metal Gear game gets revealed,
okay. Which is a franchise I'm excited to get into. That's our next franchise for patrons.
I might cry. I might cry.
I know Ginger's a huge fan too, so it might be you two sobering and me being like, oh, you're the guy from the cardboard box.
You know what I will? I do think we'll get. I think we're going to get an update for our Final Fantasy 16. I think that game is a lot further along than we think.
I hope you're right.
I mean, I'm still going to say like 2022 probably, but...
Do you think we get 16 or Remake 2 first?
Shit, maybe Remake 2. Or maybe that's... We are going to get some kind of Final Fantasy update. And that is not...
Kingdom Hearts 4?
I don't give a shit about Kingdom Hearts. Honestly, Kingdom Hearts 3 has turned me so off of the Kingdom Hearts series.
Yeah, that... I mean, I did all the grinding. I got all the weapon, but like, I have no desire to go back and play it. And I've always... even like now, I have a desire to throw on Kingdom Hearts 1 or 2.
Oh, I would like...
I have like nothing.
If you told me like, hey, we should play through Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, all right, cool. If you told me to play through Kingdom Hearts 3, I have tried to go back to it a couple times and just like...
Have you really?
Yeah, and I get halfway through like the opening like Olympia world. I'm like, man, it's missing something.
Yeah, it is. You're totally right. Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
So then the last thing I wanted to discuss is kind of like a review, I guess, but not really. And there'll be no spoilers. But I picked up Ready Player 2 on release the day it came out. And I read it like within like 3 or 4 days. I've seen a lot of hate for the book online. And don't get me wrong. It isn't as good as the first one, I don't think. It does do some retreading, but I enjoyed it. They cover some pop culture things that I really liked. I don't think it spoils anything. Like, it's hard, right? Because it doesn't give away plot points, but it definitely, like, you know, like, some of the areas the author touches on, so I don't know if I can talk about them. Like, do you care?
Oh, I give no shits. I'm not going to read the book.
All right, so skip over this part. Justin will, like, we'll include a timestamp.
I am, apparently. Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Wait, is that okay?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
I will talk to you a little bit about
it. I will put a time in the Libsyn.
Just put a time in, because you have to let the company know when we review the game anyway. So let's put a time in when the game review starts. So next time you hear us, just put a stamp in. You can skip right over it into the game review.
Yeah.
So there's a John Hughes section. They go to a John Hughes theme world. So like Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club.
I've never read the first book or seen the movie, so I have no idea what this means.
Well, so like in the Oasis, like it's like basically a giant pop culture cauldron. And so there's a bunch of different worlds.
Okay.
So one of the worlds they go to is John Hughes theme. So like I said, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, all those stuff. So I've talked, I mean, you've heard me tell Rachel, like my favorite director is John Hughes.
Yeah.
Like his movies are just amazing. So that was really cool. There's a world dedicated to Prince.
Okay. Okay.
Which, again, I love. I found out that I am not as big of a Prince fan as there are other people out there because I didn't know half the crap. And then what was the other really, really big one that I was like, kind of like, oh, this is awesome. Lord of the Rings.
Interesting.
And not the Third Age, the First Age. Like heavy Silmarillion, how you say that word, discussion.
Hmm. Interesting.
Cool. And the other thing, too, is this one has much more of an SAO vibe than the first book did.
Okay.
You've seen SAO.
No.
Do you know what SAO is?
No.
Sword Art Online?
I've seen like two episodes.
Okay, but you know how it's like it's like an actual brain interface.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some of that stuff going on too. But I really liked it. And like I just seen so many people online crapping on it. And don't get, like I said, it's not the best thing ever. But I enjoyed it. It was a good read.
Would you buy it right away? I know this isn't a
review. I would. Yeah. If you read the first one, I would say absolutely.
I have not. Again.
Well, I think you should, first off. I have no idea why someone who's as into video games and pop culture as you are with this podcast, like why you wouldn't
I am not a fan of like fourth wall breaking, like
there's no fourth wall breaking.
Okay. That's what it seemed like in the movie trailer, and then I was like,
The movie is very different than the book.
Because looking at the movie trailer, I was like, hey man, if this is what the book's going to be like, I'm not reading
it. The movie is a much, much different thing than the book.
Okay. I might check it out.
You might check it. I think you should, and I think you would like it.
Okay, I will after my...
I will after my
Thrawn stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't think it will be something that you like scream out, like, this is amazing, but it was something like, that was a fun trip. Okay. I enjoyed that.
Okay.
Which is what I felt about the book.
Interesting.
But yeah, I wanted to talk about it. I didn't know you didn't read the first book, so now I feel kind of stupid.
Nothing went over my head.
Okay. So with that then, Justin has a small game review for us.
Yes.
So we are going to play some music and get into that. Justin, this game is?
Yes, so this game is Morbid, the Seven Acolytes. It is developed by Still Running Games, and its release date is December 3rd, 2020.
What kind of console did you play it on?
So I played it on PS4, PS5. It's a PS4 game, but I just backwards compatible.
Okay.
Played it on PS5.
And who hooked us up with it?
Yeah, so thank you to Evolve PR yet again for hooking
us
up.
They are just giving us stuff. That's amazing.
Yeah, let's I'm hoping for something here next week, but you know, I doubt that's gonna happen. But yeah, so I just want to give a thank you to them for hooking us up with the game. And yeah, it's 28, I mean, again, I, oh yeah, it's Canadian. Okay, it's $28.99 in Canada.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that, it's probably like $19.99 for you guys on Steam, PS4, and Switch, and I think Xbox One. I'll have to look into that later.
Okay.
But yeah, so basically it is a Souls-like game.
Ooh.
But it's filled with like these like weird Lovecraftian, like almost like Cronenberg on the gore side of things monsters.
Cronen is what?
Cronenberg.
Like the Cronenberg. Fly, yeah. Okay, that's what I was like, what are you talking about? But okay,
yeah,
I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Continue.
And I don't know, like, so the story is very bare, like in a Souls game. You kind of wake up on a beach, and you're kind of left to
find out.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. The story is cool. It's, again, kind of there if you're looking for it, but not kind of shoved in your face. I think where this game really shines is in its like art style and gameplay. So it is like a kind of like an not like a top down, but like a 2D pixel art game. And it, the art in this game is fucking amazing, and it's gorgeous. Cool. Like the detail and like the gore is just, I know it's really weird to talk about, but like, so this is one boss, and this isn't spoiling anything, but it's a woman, and she's like torn out her intestines, and they're like
gross
in a ball, and she's using that. That's like her weapon that she uses. I don't know, but okay, you can like see all the splatter, and like you can like see inside of her. It's really gross and really cool, but
okay.
I don't know. It looks really cool. The gameplay is, I mean, it's very much like a Souls game, except for instead of gathering souls, you're actually gaining experience, and you can gain levels. Once you gain a level, you keep all that experience. If you die, you lose the experience. You can go back for it, well, you know, that stuff. It's, the gameplay is fine. It's solid. It's, nothing feels too clunky. The running does feel a little, the walking does feel a little slow at times, but
okay,
that's just kind of in line with what I am used to in a Souls game. The audio sounds great.
Audio?
Sounds, there you go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds absolutely, I mean, it sounds great. It sounds disgusting, which I think like really fits it.
Okay.
All the monsters have like unique sounds, and all the weapons feel different and sound different when you're using them. And I mean, yeah, it's got a great, like, the background music to the whole game. Like, I wouldn't be able to pick it out of a lineup, but while you're playing it, it really kind of helps set the mood for you. You just, like, feel uncomfortable while you're playing this game. And again, I think that is to its credit.
All right, perfect. And then the final one, and most important, how scary did you find this game?
I found it pretty scary, I'm not gonna lie. Like, there's cool, there's no, like, I'm never jumping out of my seat, but when I see, when you see, like, when a new monster, you come across a new monster, you are like taking it, you're like in awe, like, what the fuck is that, what can it do? And you're kind of like a little, like, you're scared to like get up close to it to kind of like see what you have to do. So it's not like The Conjuring scary, but it's like a werewolf scare, you know, like you're scared to get close to it, but you're from far away, you're like, oh, it's okay over there, kind of thing. So yeah.
All right. So then that leaves us with your decision. Is this a game our listeners should pick up right now, wait for a sale, or skip over?
So personally,
remember, Cyberpunk's coming out.
Yeah, I know, which is really hard. So
everybody else except for me, it is so weird. Like, I've watched trailers and I've talked to you guys. It does nothing for me.
I mean,
and I do not know why.
Most of the push behind that for me is I love CD Projekt Red, and I've loved them since the first Witcher game. I mean, like, that's why I originally got a PC, like, way back in the day.
You're an originalist then? You're one of those guys?
Well, I think one is the worst. Like, don't go back and play the first one. By God, it plays horrible now. The second one is really good. The third one is fantastic. I actually like the second one a little bit better than the third one.
Okay.
Just because the overall structure of everything. Anyways, that's besides the point. So this is kind of where I'm at a standstill with myself. Because if you're not buying Cyberpunk in 4 days...
5 days.
It unlocks on Wednesday at 7 o'clock at night. Yeah. So 3 days by the time this comes out.
Man, we're going to be recording our next episode. You're just going to be waiting.
Don't. Oh, yeah. I am. I really am. I'm sorry. I really am. That's, yeah. If you're not getting Cyberpunk, I would absolutely say pick up this game and pick it up now, because it's actually on sale right now. It's on sale for like, oh God, American prices, I don't know, $21.99 here. So $7 off here. So it's probably like $15.99 or $14.99 there. But if you are getting Cyberpunk, I mean, let's be honest, you're going to play Cyberpunk in 3 days. So wait for Cyberpunk to be over and then definitely come back to this and revisit it, because I think it's going to be like a sleeper hit.
Okay.
Like, I don't think it's going to get a lot of attention, but the people who are going to play it are going to really like it.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, then once again, thank you to Evolve PR. Justin, thank you for playing all these games and getting us all these reviews. You're killing it. I'm impressed.
I'm trying.
And guys, no more putting it off. Justin, I think we might be able to play some of this music because this movie is so old, but let's get into the review of King Kong. King Kong is a 1933 American monster adventure romance film shot during the pre-code era. It was directed and produced by Marion Cooper and Ernest Shodsack. I think I said that right.
I hope you
did. The film stars Faye Ray as Andaro, Bruce Cabot as Jack Driscoll, and Robert Armstrong as Carl Denham, a.k.a. our director.
A.k.a. the asshole.
Yeah. According to Rotten Tomatoes, which we don't need to talk about, but I think this is really important to mention.
Yeah.
It is the fourth greatest horror film of all time, in the 46th greatest film of all time.
Okay. We'll they can think what they want. I'm not saying it's bad, but they can think what they want.
The film is a mix of stop motion and live action and was scored by composer Mark Steiner. In 1991, it was preserved by the United States Library of Congress for cultural, historical, and aesthetic reasons. The film has spawned a ton of sequels and crossovers, along with a promised Kong vs. Godzilla film coming soon, and most notably, the Peter Jackson-directed three-hour marathon King Kong film.
I've never seen that movie, but I have played that game.
I've heard the game is really good.
Oh, the game is fucking amazing.
Yeah, actually, it was funny you mentioned that. I watched a YouTube video. Someone was talking about how it was the greatest movie tie-in game ever. And apparently, like, Peter Jackson was, like, super involved. The developers of the game were on set and, like, picking stuff up.
So I'm not gonna lie, that was, if we were gonna watch that movie this season, that was gonna be my plan. Mm-hmm. To put that right beside it,
I'm actually gonna keep an eye out for it, and I actually mentioned it to my video game store guy that if it comes through to pick it up for me, because it's a lot of high praise and coming from you too. I definitely trust it even more now.
We need to watch the movie as well though, because I've never seen it and I'm holding off.
If we needed to spend some time, we might be able to. Okay. But it's long. I mean, I remember as a kid watching it was long, but after watching this, we'll get into this.
Yeah, okay.
This film was shot on a budget just under $700,000, and it made over $5 million at the box office. Before the plot summary and everything, the success summary, I just wanted to say, me and Justin had a conversation. We talked, obviously, and we were both concerned that we may fall asleep during this because some of our past experiences with these black and white movies, the white zombie in particular comes to mind. They're kind of boring.
Yes.
Especially by today's standard. And when it comes to horror, it's kind of lacking. I will say that I was very impressed.
Okay, my bar was set like super fucking low. Like,
that might be why too. Yeah. But like, I walked away after watching this incredibly impressed.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I told you I was like halfway through watching it. And I was like,
on your phone at work.
Yeah, I was like, this is gonna be boring. I'll just watch on my phone. And then halfway through, I was like, fuck no, I gotta watch this on my TV. Like, yeah. And I restarted. I didn't continue from where I was. I restarted the whole movie.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to do this. Obviously, we never reveal scores, but I am excited to see where this falls.
Yeah.
Because I was really impressed. So I have a stopwatch pulled up. Hopefully you do too.
Yep.
We can do the 60-second plot summary and get right into it.
Absolutely.
All right. 3, 2, 1. So basically, everybody knows the plot of this story, right? Beauty killed the Beast. But what's the gaps that fill it in? So basically what happens is we have Jack and Carl who are going on this crazy adventure to go to this crazy island to film some stuff. The director pulls in Andaro to come over and be this actress for him. Well, basically they get there, the tribesmen capture Anne and sacrifice her to Kong. Kong falls in love with her. There's a lot of time spent on the island with Kong interacting with the Beast, which we'll get to probably in cinematography and how scary. But basically they use Anne as bait, capture Kong, bring back to New York City. Kong escapes, finds Anne, protects her because he loves her, climbs the top of the building, of the Empire State Building, and gets shot down by a bunch of planes, right? I mean, it's iconic. And I can't help but watching, like Justin said, the director, Carl, is the ultimate douchebag, and it was, and he has a comment that it was beauty that killed the beast.
Yeah, time.
And the first comment I have for plot is, holy crap, if you are not an environmentalist or you don't hate human for destroying nature, just messing things up, you watch this and you immediately hate mankind. Because, wow.
Oh, my first comment was, oh man, if you're a woman watching this, you fucking hate this movie. There is so much like rampant sexism.
We were messing each other lines when we were watching it. It's all over the place. I mean, it's crazy that, I mean, it's almost 100 years old, but still, like, that's some rampant sexism.
Oh, I mean, what was the one line? It was like, oh, women just can't help being a bother. They're born that way or something like that. I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. Different time, I guess, but oh man, that was bad.
But if we put that stuff into context, which we have to, right? And this is a very old movie shot in a very different time. This movie's plot is good. They do a really good job building up to the anticipation of meeting Kong.
Oh, absolutely.
And keeping Kong like hidden. Like, it's like we don't know. Like, obviously, it's years later. This plot has been done so many times. The Peter Jackson movie is very, very popular. Like, we know the story, right? We know what's actually going on. But even like knowing that, watching the movie, it's like you're invested. You're like, okay, well, what's happening here? And I was really impressed by that.
I mean, I was too. I told you, I watched it basically two times over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like I said, obviously without taking like the weird sexism stuff, not weird sexism, but bad sexism stuff into
bad, yes,
very bad,
rampant even.
I don't know. It's just like, it's a cool story of basically like, I mean, these people, these, you know, obviously the white people going somewhere they should not, and like just thinking they can take whatever they want and do whatever they want. And I don't know, it kind of like, it was interesting to see a story from that point of view, I think, from back, like you said, almost 100 years ago.
Like very aware of the fact that mankind sucks.
Yeah. Oh, like fully aware. And like, mm-hmm. I like cared about Kong when he died.
Me too.
I was like really fucking sad when he was like up on the building and he's like, ugh.
Yeah. And like when they first revealed him, it was all sad. And like, you didn't, and like, they really did not do any favors to the people in the audience either. Like, you hated all of them. Like, you hated everybody.
Oh,
I hated Jack. The only person who I didn't really hate was Anne, because she was just a flat character, because this movie didn't treat his female characters very well. But like, I felt bad for him. Because, like, he was just living his life on this island. And these people came and, like, manipulated him and captured him. And it's sad. It's so sad. And, like, at the very, very end, I was super sad.
Yeah, I was like, fucking bummed out. Like,
yeah. And yeah, I just, it could have been because our bars were so low because of some of these other older movies we've watched.
Yeah.
But, like, I hated everybody except for Kong.
Yeah, I wanted Kong to win.
Like, yeah. And we knew it was going to happen, and it sucked. Like, we knew he didn't. And like, we knew, and it was like, oh my gosh. But man, like, I think this is without a doubt the best black and white movie we've watched. Hands down.
Bar none. Like, they're like, again, you might,
like, Nosferatu is up there, but this is on another level, I think.
Like, again, I'm not sure if it's because the bar has been set low, really, for the movies that we have watched for the show. And yeah, it was just like, personally, I, up until they get to the island is a little slow, but
yeah, and it's a lot of like talking, and that's a lot of where the sexism takes place too.
Yes, but I mean, pretty much as soon as they get back on the island to go through the door, I am like all in. It's amazing to see, like, I mean, even though I hate the sailor characters, to see what they're like going through, it's fucking nuts. It is. I mean, we'll get to this in cinematography, but like, for 1933, this movie is fucking brutal.
Yeah, like, and that's, well, I'll say that for cinematography, but yeah, I am right there with you.
Oh man.
Oh. Yeah. So for plot, man, I gave it a 9. I was truly blown away.
Yeah, I did give it an 8. just because I can't. There are other movies that we have watched that are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do what you do and like grade.
You're things, totally fine. But... I just think this was an amazing, like we'll see the final scores, but I think I was kind of hesitant about this movie, mm-hmm. like putting it on first, just because like we've had such bad experiences with some of these older black and white films. But I'm so grateful, like this absolutely. Has really turned out to be so pleasant.
I was next. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll save that for the end. Okay.
Okay. cinematography. Just you can go first here.
I mean, holy shit. I wow. really, yeah, like I really thought the, I mean, I thought seeing Kong, I'd be like, oh, this is going to be, here we go. Like, this is mm-hmm. going to be horrible. But no, like they fucking pulled it off and it ages well.
It aged really like, well.
Obviously you can like see the tricks behind it and you can tell that it's stop mm-hmm. motion.
Yeah.
But that stop motion is fucking brilliant. Like it looks yeah. so good.
It's better than Ginger Dead, man.
Anything is better than Ginger Dead Man. I could take a shit and it would be better than Ginger Dead Man. But like that log scene specifically, when mm-hmm. when they do like the mix of the picture playing on the background with the claymation yeah. of them falling and the log, and I mean, that is my favorite part of the movie. It is yeah. insane.
And like not only like you hit the head, like that is just hands down brilliant. But everything else is shot well, too.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, like, on the ship, it felt constrained. I felt when they went to that little village, you could, like, I thought the village was shot really well. I thought when they went to New York City and all the scenes taking place there and the train and the Empire State Building and the planes and everything, it was just brilliant. Like, I was just impressed. Like, I had nothing negative to say. It's an older movie. It uses stop motion. And, like, that is what it is. But it is.
Well, even when they don't use great. Stop motion and they use like the close up of
yeah.
Kong's face, it looks good. Mm-hmm. Like it still looks good. And like
yeah, we were watching some like we found a copy of the film online we watched.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a 4K rendering, but it was still a really pretty rendering or at times it was rough at times. But it was good.
Yeah.
It was really and good.
I'm telling you, the brutality that they get away with like killing off the crew members with all the like animals at the bottom when they are falling off that log, like every time one fell and it just like stuck with that shot of them falling.
How I was when
like
Kong oh, smashes the guy with his foot over and over
yeah again. Man,
I was gonna say that for how scary, but
I mean you put it the here. Fucking end of the T-Rex fight, like it's brutal yeah. shit, and it's because they're using stop motion, they can get away with that kind of stuff. But
and it was pre-code era too.
Yeah, it was
so
woof, it was. It like I wasn't ready for that. I was like, oh, this is gonna be some hokey shit, whatever. And
like, I remember the Peter Jackson's movie, so I had some things in mind, yeah. but like I was not prepared for this.
Oh, either was I. I thought this was amazing.
I gave it a 9 again.
I also gave it a 9. I don't know. I was like, I never expected to be like blown away by this, and something about it, like it's I don't think there are a lot of movies from 1933 that you can say hold up now, especially fucking a kaiju movie like
in horror.
Yeah,
horror. Like don't forget this is a horror movie.
Yeah, like I don't think there's many, if any, you can say hold up as well as this.
Yeah. Audio, we'll start with the acting first.
Oh boy.
Okay. I think across the board it was good.
I have some I think issues.
The two main guy characters were good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, other than the lines they were given for the sexism, mm-hmm. they were okay. The cook seems almost extremely very racist.
At least he was played by an actual Asian man.
Yeah, it was just. They specifically gave him lines. They gave him lines that were like, okay, you're Asian, you have to say this.
I guess my bar is like Breakfast at Tiffany's with Mickey Rooney. With him playing an Asian character.
Yeah.
So at least it's a step above that. They at least cast it right.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Justin and I looked into it. We don't think that there was blackface. I wasn't able to find anything. I could be wrong. Let us know if we are. But I think the tribal people were played by actual people of color, which I think is good.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously some like blaxploitation kind of going on there. But mm-hmm. I mean, they could, I mean, especially it being pre-code, I mean, they could have used blackface. And back then, it would have been okay. It shouldn't have been, obviously, but
I'm... It would have passed for sure.
But I'm glad they did.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything. I'm not saying it's not, but since I couldn't find anything, I am going to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, which is crazy because, oh boy, the sexism.
We should put a little star. This movie is good, but it's very sexist, and we had to judge it based on like what was the time then when it was made. Okay, before we get to score, I want to talk about the sounds, and in particular the sounds, I want to talk about Kong.
Okay,
I want to talk about monsters on the island.
Okay,
and all that kind of stuff, which I think was great.
I do. I mean, I think the monsters. Personally, I think the monsters do a better job than the people.
Yes, I'm with you there.
Like, the actors were good.
I don't know, man. That director, he was such a little scumbag, and I thought that actor brought it right to the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, he did, but I couldn't tell if that was just him or...
Okay.
But, I mean, the sounds of the... I mean, you felt like you were on this, like... mysterious island, like you had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Skull Island, I think.
Yes.
Skull Island,
yes.
Monster Island, one of those.
Skull
two.
Island, yeah. And or Skull Mountain is the mountain. I don't know what the island is called, but it's Skull Mountain.
We'll be coming back here, I think, at some point.
Okay, interesting. I mean, even like when the ship is getting closer to the island, and you can kind of hear the drums building and building and building. I mean, that shit's brilliant. Like, again, it's hard to believe that. They thought of these things in 1933, like,
yeah.
Again, I'm not sure if it's because my bar was set so low, but like, I really like this movie.
I really did too. I really did. And then the final thing to talk about is the score. I mean, it's King Kong.
Yeah,
it's iconic.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's nothing else to say. It's up there with the Friday the 13th, the Halloween, right? It's up there with the greats because it is iconic. And it's been replicated and done different ways, but you hear the Kong score and you know what you're messing with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big reason why I'm excited for that eventual King Kong versus Godzilla, because those are two amazing scores that are being mashed together.
And isn't that coming to HBO Max next year now?
Yeah. That's why I was kind of mentioning, if it's actually coming to that, we can get our hands on it, we might review that.
Okay. Wait, but
you don't have to go to theaters and stuff?
To do that, do I need to watch versus monsters, the Godzilla King of Monsters?
I want to do some research and find that out, but I don't think so.
Or the new Kong. I haven't seen the new Kong.
I think I can just give you a quick rundown of it and you'll be fine going into it. I mean, in the end, it is just a kaiju movie.
Yeah.
And I doubt they're going to hit these social narrative points as well as this movie did anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. It's going to be all action.
All right. Okay. And then for audio, I gave it an 8. It wasn't impressive for me as the plot cinematography, but it was still very good. And again, it's the Kong score.
Yeah, I ended up giving it a 7. There's, again, this is where I kind of took off a ton of points for the sexism.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. It was okay. It was good. Like, it was. It really was. Especially, again, for something from almost 100 years ago.
Yep. Finally, how scary. This one was hard for me because I think I had seen this before with my grandpa, because he, like I talked about before, he had all these sci-fi horror movies. But this was a really new experience for me. And the reason why this score might be higher than some people are anticipating is because there were a couple scenes in this movie where I went, oh shit. And I think for a black and white, near 100-year-old movie to be able to do that, especially when I know the plot beats because of the other movies I've seen of it,
yeah.
I think that is incredibly impressive. I'm thinking about, like you said, the log sequence, the bugs, the Kong versus T-Rex fight when he stomps that guy into the ground, when he's going through the city. There were just a couple of scenes where I was like, shit, like, okay, let's get after this. And I think that's impressive. I think that if you showed this to a younger kid, it would be very scary. Like, I think if you showed it to like maybe a kid your age, Justin.
Oh, like a kid that's my kid's age.
Your children's age. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I'm older than you. Come on.
I think that they would probably be scared by it. Yeah. Maybe even nightmare inducing a little bit. I think it's impressive. And again, I give a lot of credence to the fact that that shit held up so long.
Let's hear that score. What'd you give it?
Oh, you want to hear before you give me yours? Yeah. Okay. Okay. I gave it a 7.5.
Okay.
Again, I think I am willing to admit, if I get called out, that I think my bar was really low for this going into it. Yeah. So maybe it's why it's elevated. But I give a lot of credit to how old it is in the fact that even though I know the plot beats, I still went, whew, okay, oh, wow, all right. You know what I mean? Like I think that says a lot for a movie. So
I would agree to a point. My score is nowhere near as high as yours. Again, a lot of it did hold up. Like you mentioned, the log scene and the spider, like that whole claymation thing, real life. I mean, it wasn't real life, but it fucking felt like real life. But other than that,
arachnophobia is coming, buddy.
Oh, I know. I'm kind of worried about it now. I'm not going to lie. Other than that, though, I found myself more just impressed at what they could hold off, but not like
scared.
And
That's totally fair. I mean, how scary is always very personal.
Well, exactly. And if this was a how well did this movie hold up, I would give it like a 9 or a 10. But how scary? Again, it's an older movie. There's not a ton there that's, I think, like you mentioned, if I was a kid and watching this, I couldn't imagine. There's a reason why I didn't watch this with my kid. but me watching it myself, it was just kind of like, other than that spider scene and that log scene, it was just more impressive than anything.
As long as you score higher than the last Resident Evil movies, I think we'll be okay.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I gave it a 3.
You did. Okay. You're good. You also gave it higher than Friday the 13th Final Chapter. So you're okay in my book.
Okay, good.
All right. To review, and obviously this is a kaiju. It's the season, in case you haven't been paying attention. To review the scores. Wow, voice crack, Larry. This is good. To review the scores, for plot, I gave it a 9. Justin gave it an 8. For cinematography, we both gave it 9s. For audio, I gave it an 8. Justin gave it a 7. And for how scary, I gave it a 7.5. And Justin gave it a 3. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 76%. Let me head to our master list. Interesting here. Okay, so it falls in between two films. Two classic films we reviewed in the podcast already. It is right above the original Suspiria, which has a 75%, and it's actually 1 percentage point below Nosferatu.
Interesting. Okay.
I think what the big difference was, I think you found the vampire far scarier Nosferatu than you did Kong.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is totally fair.
Yeah.
It's totally fair. All right, so that is going to be our review of King Kong. Stick around for this commercial from Out of Contracts, one of the members of our Kaleidoscope Media Network, and we're going to head on in to the closing.
Hi, I'm Ryan Howard.
And I'm Brady Jungle.
And we're the hosts of Out of Contracts, a show where we watch and talk about a random episode of Star Trek every other Sunday.
For each podcast, we've used a random number generator to select an episode of any of the Star Trek series. And then we talk about the story of the episode, what the writers hope to accomplish, and how the episode fits into the larger tapestry of Star Trek as a whole.
The thing is, though, that each of us has only seen about a third of the Star Trek episodes in existence, which means that sometimes I watch a late period Deep Space Nine episode and have no idea what's going on. It's fun!
So, if you've ever wondered about the logistics of love on the holodeck,
or what it would really look like if all the water got sucked out of your body,
then listen to Out of Contracts every other Sunday at outofcontracts.podbean.com or wherever you download podcasts.
I am so thankful we watched that, and I'm hoping that the other two older movies we're going to be watching, actually, we'll call it 3, OG Godzilla, Them, and The Birds. I'm hoping that all 3 of those can at least be close.
So I will say here, like, I don't have like any experience really with kaiju movies. I've seen like maybe 2 or 3. This was a real standout for me. Unfortunately for the rest of those films, this has also set the bar pretty high.
I agree. And that's why I'm very nervous for all 3 of them, because The Birds, so that's a while down the road. We'll talk about The Birds when we get to The Birds.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. It was enjoyable, though. I mean, again, I was worried I was going to fall asleep. That's why I decided to watch it on my phone at work, where I knew I wouldn't. But no, like, it ended up being really good. It was a really big surprise. And, like, I'm starting to question now, like, obviously we aren't for the show, but, like, do I keep watching, like, kaiju movies? Like, do I just fucking go down this weird road?
There are some really good ones out there. Unfortunately, we have some really shitty ones. Well, we might have to review at the very end of the season, but there are some gems.
Oh, I meant, like, staying in the, like, Kong and Zilla franchise.
You should. I honestly, the fact you haven't watched the Peter Jackson one, you should take the time to watch that. You and your wife should get a big bowl of popcorn, watch it, and you will enjoy it. I do think so. Jack Black plays the director, Carl.
Oh, I know Jack Black and oh man, what's that guy's name? Adrian Brody. Predators, yeah.
Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
And Naomi Watts plays Anne. I love that movie.
Okay.
As a kid, I thought it was boring because it was long, but as I got older, I liked it.
Then maybe we should watch it for the show and play that game.
Maybe.
We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out.
So coming up next week, we have our first forced entry from our patrons. It comes from Shannon, and it is 3D Monster Maze. We can't talk about it too much because Justin and I have both played it. It will probably be a shorter review.
Yes.
We have two streams up. We'll probably port them together and put it over on our YouTube or something. I don't know. We could talk about that. But we will also be releasing within the next week and a half to 2 weeks our Final Fantasy IX review. That is only for patrons. And if you want to check that out, head over to our Patreon to get access to it. It's literally only $1 a month. But that is no pressure.
Yeah, and then after 9, we are going to 10.
Yes, 10 is the next game. We are going to take a break.
For Cyberpunk.
For Dark Souls.
Well, yeah, potato,
Justin
potato.
Because Justin has me stressed out about that, so I'm very curious. Devin says she's excited to hear me scream from the back room, so we'll...
We'll
see.
Do you have more than one controller?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm sorry if you break one, because apparently that's a thing people do. I am able to take a step back and take a deep breath, but... Hopefully you are too.
I guess we'll see. So guys, thank you for hanging out with us for King Kong. And until next week, stay scared. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.